Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Celtic Now and for our podcast. Once again, my name is Ryan Clifford. Join me again as co-host Robert Boyle. Robert, how's things, mate?
All good, Ryan. Thanks. Yourself?
Not bad, mate. As we know, it's a big weekend, Scottish Cup. Did a podcast for the Livingston game, so we'll briefly talk about that and obviously the latest news. John is this week for the first time. The podcast is Joe Reid. Joe, how's things, mate?
Hi, all good, buddy. How are you?
As I said, mate, not bad. Everything's getting more positive now. Every podcast with Danes is kind of getting better, so hopefully another positive outcome this weekend. But obviously yourself, John, you're back on. How's things?
Good, Ryan. Good to see you.
As I say, Robert, it's a big week coming. A good result against Livingston. We'll briefly touch on it again. 6-0 win, a bit more clinical than we have been, so we've been creating a lot of chances in the height. It was a game that we were due to kind of win with a lot of goals because it was coming.
I did say it, Ryan, the last podcast. I says we've had far too many shots. Once we get a wee bit more clinical, the team was going to take an absolute down off us. I just wish it was a Sunday. It might be still. I thought a build up playing that, it's always been good, but when we got to the final third, we were just a wee bit lacking composure in the final third, but on Sunday there, it really could have been. Saturday there, it could have been 10. It really could have been. I think the football has been good under Kennedy, kind of two-touch football, and the players are starting to kind of get these coaching and are playing it quite well now, to be honest with you.
I think, obviously, Joe, the last few weeks we've been not really scoring a lot of goals and creating a lot of chances, and I think it was, as Robert says, it was probably coming a result like that.
I think a big difference is Forrest coming back. It gives you, he's a natural wide player that wants to run at people, and it gives you the focal point rather than across. He's more direct, and just what Robert says, it was coming. I don't know if we played really well or Livingston played bad, though. That's the problem. But it was coming, and the amount of chances we've created the last few weeks, it's always been on the cards. So hopefully that. We've been waiting in this game so long, thinking, right, this is a game to turn it. Hopefully, we can bring it into Sunday now and move on.
I definitely agree with you, Joe. To give you two, it's definitely coming. I think, as you say, Robert, I think you'll agree, John, that we are creating a lot of chances. I know there's been people saying maybe the type of play we've been playing is the same as Lennon, but I definitely can see a tiny bit of progression the way we're playing. It's a bit more forward playing, and I think maybe at the back with Iron and Welsh, they're playing well, and obviously maybe prefer Julian to play there, but the boy Welsh has come in and done much wrong, in my opinion, John.
He's just tweaked it a wee bit, hasn't he? Just a couple of wee changes. He seemed to be going forward a lot more, and also looking a bit more comfortable at the back, with Ayer and Welsh forming a wee bit of a partnership. Must say, the boy Welsh played well last week and the week before. He seems to be progressing well every week. Maybe that's because he's got the same partner every week, and Ayer. It was earlier on the season, the back line was changing every week, wasn't it?
Well, you've seen that, is obviously talking about the last two Rangers games. The defence was a bit more settled, and obviously we did get beat Ibrox, but you think the last two games it has kind of turned, Robert, and obviously I think that's kind of, it's just for me, it's better positive kind of attitude going forward? Because before Lennon left, it was just every game was just doom and gloom. And even that game against Livingston, that could have only been a 1-2 scrape win. And I think it was, as Joe said, I know it was at Livingston playing poor and us really just been okay. But I think in general, it was just good to get that kind of a few goals and a bit more confidence flowing through the team.
I think what Joe touched on was James Forrest makes a massive difference. And you can see Joe Kenny and him seem to have a decent partnership. It's two people coming down the right-hand side. It's not just one guy you're getting coming down that side. We had with Frimpong or John Joe Kenny on his own. Forrest stretches games and he can drift inside and let Joe Kenny go and outside, and he's won twos and stuff. Goals, broke two goals back in two games, and I think it's one assist, maybe might be more. I can't even remember, it's been that long. If we've done a podcast, but just what he brings to the team is, it's the difference. He is the difference. It obviously makes his jail, and his goals and assist ratio is second to none. You know what I mean? So I think that, as your dad Nat touched on as well, Ryan, is you're starting to get a settled team. You're no chalking and changing all the time. And probably that was been the problem with injuries and lack of form all season. We've probably hit a wee bit of, not a bit of form, but we're starting to get a couple of games together with a Celtic team, and it's, you're starting to notice the difference in the Celtic team.
As you and Joe touched on James Forrest, the first goal, again, Forrest, tumble, Edouard. I thought as well, I know Edouard, we can maybe say he's not really up to standard, but in certain parts of the game, you see him, Joe, you do see he does do a lot of good things. It might not be something you see all the time, but some of his nice wee touches, you don't realise how good they actually are, and it brings guys into the game.
Mate, it's like, some people watch the highlights of games, or you can even be at the game, or watching it on the TV. You only see what the camera shows you, but when you're at the game, and if you watch, he might be doing runs to pull people off the ball. You don't see the full picture. It's kind of a false, like, people say he never done that much, but you don't know what running he's done off the ball, or link-up play or whatever. It's hard, because every time he doesn't score now, people say, oh, he's down tools. But like, sometimes he's up there, he sells. Sometimes he's up, as the guys have said, they're their own. Every team needs a hardcore eight or nine. And now and again, one or two will come in and out. Lennon was changing in six, seven, eight players. You've played football, it's so hard. For weeks, Ajeti was the main man, and it was Kamara. You can't do that. You've got to just, you guys are on their team and build partnerships. And I mean, El Nahousi, I thought, was outstanding against Livy. But is that him because he's played in the same team, like with the same players a couple of weeks? Or is he getting different instructions now? Or you just don't know what's going on.
Well, El Nahousi, Joe, I personally think, I just think he's been getting a bit of freedom, taking it express himself. And again, that could be his position where, as I say, obviously in other podcasts, we only as fans, we can maybe say he should play there, but to be on end, all the managers go to decide where his best position is. And I don't think he's really been playing a position where he's been playing up front and he's playing here. And as he says, as Joe touched on, John, El Nahousi playing a position where he's maybe get that freedom, and I do agree with Joe that I thought he was really good on Saturday, and his finishes were superb.
He did play really well. As Joe says, he's maybe settled into a position the last two or three games. Different manager playing him a different position. We spoke about it before. He has got qualities, but where does he play? What's his best position? Somebody's best position, they're going to get more out of him, aren't you? Mm-hmm.
Do you not think he's similar to Sinclair? Like, there'd be weeks people would say Sinclair wasn't great, but he starts every season. That's El Nahousi on 18 goals, and you wouldn't have said, oh, he's been outstanding, but 18 goals so far on a white man's, you can't ask for much more than that.
Yeah, 100%, Joe. As I say, I made a tweet in January, Robert, saying it, El Nahousi, fuck off, because I was like, he's been hopeless. But the minute I look back and I take it in now, most of the team have not been that good this season. So you could tell him to the motto, fuck off, because you're frustrated because of the season. And that's no, it's no personal against these guys because we know they're trying and whatever else. But as fans, it's again, it's a hysteria of the season. They're just frustrated because they know they can play better. And I think at the start of the season, he was a guy that we know has got a lot of quality. And again, I know as Joe maybe says Livingston may be poor, but as he says, he was quality and he has been playing a bit better since John Kennedy came under as a manager.
I like him, honestly, as a player. I definitely do. As we say, Lennon played him up front, played him half a striker, played him left mid. He never gave him, if he was having a bad game suit left mid, he'd drop him, and then put him up front after a couple of weeks. Then he wasn't playing right there, he'd drop him again. I don't care how good you are. If you have one or two games that they don't see you good performing and they drop you, your confidence will be low, as the full team has been all season. As juggling tactics all season, 3-5-2, 4-2-3-1, 4-1-2-1-2, Diamond. Just honestly, the players must have been confused by it all. I think it was just getting a bit ridiculous. We just didn't know what team was turning up, what tactic was turning up, and the goalkeeper situation now seems to not be sorted, but it seems to have picked a goalkeeper and kind of stuck with him because that's changed all season and all. It's hard because you need to build up partnerships in games and obviously you need to know what sort of players, where they're playing, what sort of balls they're going to play into you. If you're getting that changed all the time and maybe one game you'll get a wide for a natural winger to then go on with a diamond, it's hard to fucking make the right runs in that. If we're honest, is what we think is a left mid, him playing up front isn't going to help him, is it? It's no. It's just, it's wild. And I just, now we've got 5 league games left in the Scottish Cup. We need to try and build a bit of momentum and try and obviously go to Ibrox on Sunday and put on a performance. And I think we've been unlucky the last twice we've played them, I think. If we take our chances, we can beat them quite comfortably, if you ask me, to be honest with you. But it's just taking it at the right time.
This is, we'll all touch on that later on the podcast, but I definitely agree with you. And I think the last game against Rangers, I think it was definitely a bit more kind of positive. And obviously, John, you mentioned about Welsh. He signed a new deal again. So that's obviously somebody Celtic sees something in him. I know we've made a manager, but I know guys, there's a lot that goes behind the scenes with recruitment and guys still work behind the scenes. But again, that's, you've kind of spoken about kind of youth players and stuff, how we need to keep them. And again, it's a guy who are going to keep, and again, he could get his money in the future.
To be fair to Stephen Welsh, he got thrown in at the deep end, didn't he, for his debut playing against Rangers and AC Milan. That could have killed a lot of young boys, and to be fair to him, he's progressed, hasn't he? That's where that partnership comes in, playing with a stable partner, week in, week out. Not just a partner beside you, maybe the fullback's the same. You build relationships with the back 4 or 5, whatever it is. But I know you're right to talk about the pathway to the first team with the young boys, but I know you want to talk about that later on, Ryan.
No, speaking of it, John, I do agree with you that I think you're big on it as well. I don't know what Joe's thoughts on it, Joe, but obviously the youth system, I think Robert's mentioned on our podcast, we pay a lot of money for Lennoxtown, and we're not really bringing a lot of guys through. I think maybe obviously due to maybe the COVID situation, my money, we don't know how tight money's going to be. This is when we need to start kind of generating our own youth and hopefully sell them on in the future.
Look, it's just, to me, I've said it for years, it's like Scottish fans are quite fickle. So see, you'll have somebody like Stephen Welsh, right? So young Scottish guy. See a guy in Italy with the exact same stats, with a fancy name, and you go, ah, what one do you want? Because of the way we've always been brought up, everybody sees the romance and, oh, get the young Italian guy in. But that, you've got a guy there when you're the end doorstep that's the exact same, and they get like bad mouth because they're Scottish, they get scrutinised because they're Scottish, whereas you can bring an Italian or a Spanish boy in and you go, ah, you need to bear with them because they need to get up to speed. But you've got somebody there. What is the point of having Lennoxtown if you're not going to progress these guys? If they're good enough, they've got to run.
That's something I definitely agree with. I think Joe makes a good point there. If she says it was, let's just say it was Sebastian Larsson, centre-back for Napoli, 18-year-old, whatever, and the same stats as Joe says, maybe, or what a player he would be, but as Joe says, because he's Scottish, it's just a decent Celtic youth player.
He's right, Joe's right. That's always been the way of Scottish football. It's even probably English football to a certain extent, maybe no in the last few years, but that was always their way of doing it, you know what I mean, as well. I think just the British outlook on football. Obviously, there's more talent coming through now than there ever has. Like that young boy last night that obviously went to Borussia Dortmund. I thought 17-year-old, 35 million, I thought the game's fucking off its head. But he obviously is a top talent, you know what I mean? And he's proven that at 17, playing in the Champions League. I like a boy Welsh. I think he's very shrewd at how he goes about his business. He's no a big-time Charlie, right? He just does exactly what he needs to do. But my only concern is if we bring a new manager in and he wants to bring another centre-half in, then I think, obviously,
aye, it's going to die.
Aye, that he might have to loan him out or he might not get his chance, which might obviously start his development. But we'll just need to wait and see that in the future. But I'm glad the boy got a four-year deal because I think he's been one of the only shining lights this season, to be honest.
When you touched on managers there, it's like I had a chat with a boy the other day. I really like the way Sean Maloney analyses a game, right? And the guy says, "Would you take him?" And I was like, "I actually really like him." And he went, "Oh, I wouldn't touch him." But see, if the assistant manager of Belgium wasn't Sean Maloney, and somebody says, "We're linked to the assistant manager of Belgium," everybody would have gone, "Oh, that's a great appointment." Because it's Sean Maloney, Scottish Sean Maloney, that played with Celtic. Oh no, you wouldn't get near him. It's bizarre the way like we always badmouth Lorraine, and like again he would be somebody that I would quite happily because he must have something if he's assistant manager in Belgium. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, obviously something. We know a wee bit when we get told a story half a boy. We'll tell you half there about him, Joe. He's got a house, obviously, back in Scotland, and a boy had a conversation on stuff, but we'll tell you that after, because we don't want newspapers going to reporting their stuff.
No, but I think, John, it's definitely what Joe says. It's actually something I've never thought about. If that was another manager, like, I don't know, if it's a Spanish manager, but maybe he's Spanish, but he's assistant to Belgium, he's at the same profile, he talks the same Maloney, you think, aye, that guy's decent, but as Joe says, because he's Scottish and he's maybe known the limelight really as much as other managers, people are saying I want to take him. But I do agree with Joe. I've only really seen him on sports scene. But when he does talk, John, he does talk very well. And he does, when he talks about Celtic as well, he's dead passionate about Celtic when he talks on the highlights.
He's regarding signing like boys, foreign boys, are any better than your own? Celtic, the last 10, 15 years, have signed lots of foreign young talent, and I may be wrong, maybe tell me. I think the only one really that's come through is Christopher Ayer.
Probably.
I can't recall any other ones that's come through.
There's been a lot of youth boys have signed, haven't they, Robert? There's a few boys have signed maybe like 16, 17 for Arsenal and stuff, and then they've not really done a lot. They've the guy, like Okoflex, and the guy, Avalabi, he's at Lot of Dundee. What's your chances, really, if you're going to look, even a boy like O'Connell, playing the championship with Bolton, and he comes and sits in Celtic reserves, see if you can go to Queen's Park, and again, I don't know if this is my opinion, see if you're going to like Dundee or Queen's Park, or are you really going to win the first team plans? Are you really going to come up and do a lot better? I went to Kilmarnock and proved yourself in the Premier League, and he came to Celtic. I think Rodgers did say that, didn't he, Joe? I want to take him out alone and then bring him back. There you go.
See man. The one at your aim, you didn't even mention, Ryan. Lee Connor. Connell. Who was tipped to be a big thing, and the Man U fans that when that we signed him on the Man U forum were going, "Oh, why did we let him go? He's a cracker." But I don't even know where he is now. I know he's in loan somewhere down in England.
Yeah, Tramier.
He went to Partick Thistle in the relegation fight, and he was obviously in team no good enough for Partick Thistle, which is a bit scary coming from my new reserve team to Celtic. I don't know, it's just as you say, sometimes these young boys come with big pedigrees because they're from big clubs or they've got a fancy name and they don't live up to it.
Aye,
Well, see the boy Luke O'Connell. I was speaking to somebody, coaches, and they said he'll never play in the first team for Celtic. Just on his stats and his movement and all that, he'll never play.
I don't know. Obviously, they must look at stats and stuff like, because I think we spoke about it with William, Joe. The former football agent, he did say that. He says, obviously, Brentford, they use Everton Jones stats if your stats are not enough. He says, they teams don't sign you anymore.
Everton stats now. Everton stats. And a lot of these, do you know the agents are getting an app now? And an agent's got an app, and all these players get filed into this app, and it's all their stats. And then the agent then asks the other agents to send me your stats every week without actually seeing the players. See, they don't go and watch the players now because there's too many. There's too many players that can move. So everything's all stats. It's mental.
That's what William, the former agent, was saying on audio a couple of weeks ago. It's all technology now.
That's crazy, isn't it? It's just, the game's just moving forward, but isn't it? There's a lot more technology getting involved.
If I can put, I've got a wee app called SofaScores, and see if I highlight a player, every time he's playing, it'll flash up my phone and tell me, there's a guy, Dennis Mann, remember we were looking at players before, Ryan? And I actually forgot I'd been following him, and it came up the other night and flashed my phone. Dennis Mann for Palmer, 68 minutes. And I'm like, you can just type in a guy's name and put a marker next to him, like you would do a team. If you're following Celtic and every time they have results, and it could, and that's just through my phone, and they special app, that's just SofaScore. And it will tell you the rating of the guy and if he's assisted or scored.
But it's like these heat maps, and they'll pick one guy and say, well, that's a disgrace. But you don't know if he's been told to stay on that, like, on that line of channel where you're just up, down. Obviously, when they highlight it on the heat map, it just looks as if you've done doggies up and down. But he might have specifically been told, I don't want you moving other than up and down. Do you know what I mean?
It's mad. As you say, some coaches are like that. They'll tell players specific instructions and that's it, Joe. And people go, he's having a cunty game. But he's been told to the exact one job and that's it.
Nice. Like, see when Frank Pong burst onto the scene, I loved watching him because, like, he was just so unpredictable. But see, as the game's got on, I got the impression Lennon was saying to him, no, I don't want that. I want you to stay. Don't go past this guy. Because the guy went backwards, in my opinion. He burst onto the scene. He was very, very good. I enjoyed watching him. I sat up my seat anytime I seen him. And then as the games went on, he was just so ineffective, but he must have been told not to, like, to change the way he'd been playing. He must have.
He's basically been told no, he expresses himself then, hasn't he? Managers want you to be rigid in your formations and disciplines, but you can't play like that all the time. You've got to allow players to express themselves.
I think the thing that's wrong in the modern game of football, everybody's obsessed with playing the Barcelona way or a 4-3-3 fucking two-touch football. You don't get many players who dribble with the ball as such now, do you?
No.
I feel that side of the game is getting coached out of players.
Well, see even the opposite of that, and this is why I loved see Leicester winning the league a couple of years ago. My personal opinion is, see, even about that point, everybody was buying ball playing centre halves, whereas Leicester had Robert Hoof and Morgan, and they were just pure bruisers, absolute bruisers, and all the superstars hated to play against them. They two guys just bullied their way through it, and I really believe that's how they won the league. I really believe that's what happened.
I like the fact
that
Japanese boy and Vardy up front. Work ethic team. And the full fact is, everybody went to a 4-2-3-1. The two strikers up front, the defenders didn't like it because they were used to playing against one striker. And I thought, actually, you're right, John, what they were just a rough team with a 4-4-2, strong Walling team and everybody knew their job and they managed to win the league quite comfortable in it.
But do you not think managers are overcomplicating all this now with 3-1, 2, yep. 4? Like, yep. Just go back to basics and it's crazy. I've sat at Celtic Park and when they line up before the game, you're sitting going, I don't know what he's doing here. I really don't know what his formation is. So if we're sitting like that and that's changing every week, and you touched on it earlier on, see one week if you're the one in front of the two and then the next week you're the three in front of, you must be going, what the hell am I meant to be doing here?
Definitely, Joe, I agree with you. It's just baffling something now.
George, you're talking about Bob playing centre-halves. Who do you think the way it is now with the goalie gives the centre-halves the ball in the six-yard box? And the teams are pressing high and they're making mistakes. As you say, they're wanting their centre-half to be fucking ball players. They're playing at centre-half because they're not a ball player. They're a defender.
To be fair, that's what I like about the boy Welsh. I don't think he buys into that. I think he just does what's asked of him. You never really see him taking the ball and try to play it out. He just does his job. And the opposite, I think this is why they're working well, because Ayer's really good at stepping out. He's probably one of the best at taking the ball and moving forward 10, 20 yards. And I think that's why he will get a move, because he steps into the hole, whereas Lennon had this gone side. And to an extent, Rodgers started doing that his last season, side. But the way Kennedy's lined up the last two games, it was like Rodgers' first season, whereas miss out the side and just go forward. And again, I think we always try and overcomplicate things with like overplaying the ball. See, sometimes I'd love them just to go on and just try something different. It's mad. They try and score the perfect goal all the time. All the teams try and score a perfect goal. And I think me and you spoke about it all day. I'd love to just see a big bruiser centre forward. I know they're dying off now, but just an absolute... A John Hartson, just an absolute...
Do you own that, Joe? The big boy plays with Burnley. Up front, I can't remember his name, he's a big Welsh boy. He's right. A big bruiser like that, and he gets some joy out of it all the time now, as you said, because they're hard to come by.
Probably were playing the two up front, that Welsh boy and the boy Wood. Two
Chris,
big ones.
That's Chris Wood is an old fashioned centre half, and I don't think modern defenders like that sort of player.
No, they don't. No chance.
It's something I've spoke about, Joe, a lot. I agree with you all, because we are missing. Edward's not going to date for you that. Yet he's not going to date for you. Kamara's not going to date for you. Griffiths is not the player he is. So, for me, you need a big man, a wee man. I've always liked that as a player. Guy, fuck it all. You can see nowadays, when Edward fucks it on, however, there's nobody else there. There's nobody beside him, and
he's
fighting it on himself. Basically, yeah. I do agree with you. I think we are missing. I know, as you say, the chance of getting a certain of the hearts in there for maybe £1 million, £2 million is hard to come by. But again, that's where you need to try and, as we spoke about before, Robert, is Joe, get your scouting system a bit more better and advance it to theories, maybe the Scandinavians or whatever. Just try and get a better route how to get these players in.
Ryan, see as the striking options. People might laugh. I'd have took London Dykes just because he's a completely different option. He's a focal point. He might not score you 30 goals a season. I'm not saying he's the right player, but somebody of that calibre. Like when you're going in, maybe away in Europe in a tight patch and the ball's bobbling on in front of you, can he play good football? A guy like London Dykes will hold the ball up for you and bring others into play when you can ping a ball 60 yards. You've got to have different players for different games and different tactics. You can't go with good strikers like Edward with silky feet all the time away to somebody in fucking Slovakia on a bobbly pitch in a qualifier. It just doesn't work. You know what I mean? And the chances are he's going to get took out. So you've got to have your different options of a good player, good goal scorer, a target man. I think you've got to have three different choices as your strikers. And obviously different types of players in midfield. I think you've got to have a mixture of all different things for different scenarios. I think that's it.
You might not want to hear it, but that's what Gerrard's done.
Yeah.
That roof, he's really busy and he's got to speak about him. Etams, your big tall guy, he's got legs. Morelos puts his tail about. Their strikers are all different, whereas ours seem to be the same.
Very
similar.
Like Pidgetti,
but he needs to play as a two.
A
one doesn't suit him. But I don't know. They're all similar.
Very similar, John. There's no physicality there if you need it.
Nah. We're not a physical team in the slightest. Nowhere on the part. Even the defence isn't as physical as what it's been in the past. You've got two guys on the flanks, Taylor or Laxalt. They're small. You've got one right back, the boy John Joe Kenny. He's not a physical presence. Ayer's poor in the air at times, very poor in the air. I like him as a player, but he's not dominating in the air or anything. Do you know what I mean? We're easy to get to.
Aye. Definitely. Aye. I think we fail in Europe a lot of the times because we've not got that physicality and against these Eastern European teams and stuff. Like, your Copenhagen in that. They're big, physical, strong, athletic boys. You know what I mean? And I just feel sometimes that's where we come up trumps against these teams, and that's just a different manager with different approaches for different situations. You should have, as you say, across there, he has got different options, which gives him the best chance in Europe and Scottish League.
We probably got Lyndon Dykes' move because every time he played against us, he played us.
Aye.
I'm not Celtic. Aren't they physical and they can't handle physical players?
Nah.
I definitely agree when it comes to the physicality, John, what you say there. We've no, sometimes, especially in Europe, we can't cope with it. And obviously, John Hughes was talking about the guy that's on loan. Leo, I can't remember his set name, Leo something Hollander. Yeah. Aye. John, you were talking about obviously the youth system. John Hughes says he's the next Van Dijk, supposedly. Celtic need to keep him. I'm sure he's got another year's contract or something. I'm sure he's no a free transfer this summer, but rumors about Southampton that try to get him. Obviously, John, we need to try and keep any promising youth guy we can, and if it means throwing him in for a few games to get them used to first team experience, then there's going to be some sort of pathway, John, into kind of a few years to go into the system, because as it stands, you know, we don't know who's come in. Doesn't know what there's any system, John, are talking into the first team.
There's going to be a pathway to the first team. I think that's, if there's a new regime with a new structure, I think that's one of the model we need to go down, because you know we're sold. If Celtic won the treble in Scotland, they get 5 million for it or something. Celtic predominantly get put out early doors in Europe, which is less money again. So you need to sell players, be having sell-on clauses, or getting somebody cheap and selling them on for a few quid, or the route of progressing your young players, then your turn, and then selling them on. Not every player that comes through Celtic system fails. All these big clubs, the players that don't make their first team, I don't know the percentages, but they all go down they filter down the leagues. They can still have a great career. It might not be at the top level, but we need to start producing boys. You need one. I think you need to put a belter to come in every season. Every year, you need to have a belter coming in. You all know it. It's finances.
But see on that, John.
What's
your Celtic spending on Lennox Town? £2 million a year they spend on their youth system, £8 million they spent on Lennox Town. But see, you're saying that all these youth players, no every team produces a good youth player every year, John. That's the only thing is.
I understand that, but Celtic cherry pick or the best young talent, Celtic and the other team. Cherry pick or the best young talent who they think is going to progress, and some of them are not.
Chelsea did that to every club in the world. Chelsea's been doing this for years. and loaning players out, and then they just sell them on. And now Bayern Munich seem to be doing it because they've took two of your players. It's very hard, hard market. I know what you're saying, but I just feel every year's a bit much you ask. I just feel it's just too much. Because you're saying, if we've got a right cracking player now, we're getting them took off us before he's 17, 18. That's just
You're lucky to get one every 5 years. That's my opinion. You'd be lucky to get one every 5 years. You wouldn't get one every year. No chance.
I think the words are too good.
I'll throw a name at you.
Financially.
I was reading a book the other day. Do you know what Islam Firouz is now?
Oh, on you go.
He's retired. 26-year-old. Retired. Never played a first team game. Never started a first team game for anybody.
Scary, isn't it? Because at Celtic, he was tipped to be this next best thing. And again, we'll see when it comes to that, Joe. Do you think, obviously I've never been in a situation with a kid that's good at football, but do you think maybe that's when the club and the parents need to sit down and think what's best for the boy, and our mind talking about money?
Well, see, like you were talking about youth players, right, and you say it's about progression. There's a pressure. Obviously, the pressure this year was a 10-year-old. There's always a pressure, but me personally, they need to be on the bench, they need to be playing, because what happens is, just for talking sake, a Southampton come in and go like that, well, we'll give you $25,000 a week. The boys then looking at it and going, I'm probably not going to play there, but at $25,000 a week for 3 years, I can then go to a championship team. I'm not going to play at the top level, but I'm going to be set for life. Whereas if I'm 17, and I'm starting against maybe a Falkirk in the cup, and then on the bench against Rangers, and then maybe getting 10 minutes here and there, I'm going like that. I'm on good money. I'm settled. I'm running about the first team. I'm going to try and make it a go. But it's like the boy Dembele, by all accounts, it looks as if he's going to go. But his attitude's changed because he thought he was going to be playing Benoit. And maybe we're at fault as well for not playing him, because we threw him in a couple of games and then he disappeared off the face of the earth. And if somebody's got to come in and offer the boy $20,000 a week and he's nowhere near, I mean, all the injuries and he was still on the bench, he must be looking at it and going, I'd rather get my $20,000 a week for 3-4 years than not getting anywhere near that team. And it's a hard one. It is hard.
When you say it that way, it is, especially if you're getting, as you say, a good bit of money elsewhere to maybe a chance of playing somewhere else. But I do agree that guys like your Dembele's, if they are hotly tipped, as you say, this season they've not done that well, why not put two or three youth boys on the bench, play them, try and see how they are. Obviously, the boy Welsh has come in, Robert, started to play well. Boy Henderson came in against Lille, done all right. Again, shipped out London Dunfermline. So they boys must be thinking, what chance have I got here when I'm commanding, all right, training with the first team, but then getting popped into the reserves again? It must be hard for them.
It's very, very, very difficult, Ryan. As Joe says, there's very few that make it through into the first team. You need luck. You need talent. And I suppose you need it all. Luck, talent, and to be given a chance. It's just... But there's no many players that leave Celtic that go into better and bigger things.
No.
So that tells me that we're probably 90% right on what we're doing. With these players, they might be talents. They might be, say at 14, 15, some of these boys might be absolutely brilliant, way ahead of the game. But by the time they get to 21, they've no progressed the way other players run about them have progressed, if you get what I mean. But like Andy Robertson got released for Celtic when he was about 16, 17. It took him to go to Queen's Park, Dundee United, Hull, to then go to Liverpool for him to obviously reach his full potential. And people say, oh, I wish I kept a hold of him. But maybe at that time, he wasn't a good player when we released him. Because Joe Chalmers get kept on at Celtic and Andy Robertson get left. So that tells me every player progresses at different stages in their career. So you just need to be very careful on that one. You know what I mean? It's all right to say, ah, we shouldn't have let him go, we shouldn't have let him go. It's very few they come back and bite us in the arse, do they?
But you're right. How do you know? But like he obviously wasn't good enough at the time, and that's why he got released. And then suddenly he's a Champions League winner, and you've got Celtic fans saying, I can't believe we let him go. But you're not, there's no crystal ball that would say, right, he's going to be where he is now. You just don't know. It's many of we kept, and nothing's happened with him. Do you know what I mean? It's a catch 22 there. It's a hard one.
Definitely.
And obviously, we've got a tendency to buy kind of youth players or young players, John. We bought Kamara for a good bit of money. Supposedly the papers he's leaving again. I don't know how big the rumours are, but the papers are reporting he's gone for really about the same price we sold him for, John. Again, he's really come in, he's been really developed again, but is that down to him not getting a chance? I don't know if we can really say, is he going to be a certain player? Probably no, but as John Robert says, sometimes these boys don't really get a chance, but if they go elsewhere, John, he might go to America. I know the standards might not be the best, but if we flourish under a new manager and a better kind of a better culture in a team.
I've kind of always said we take instant decisions on boys on their first and second game. We go, oh, he's crap, he's not going to make it. Players need a run of 6, 8, 10 games in a row to actually find out a bit more about them and if they're going to be good enough. As fans, we make rash decisions, don't we, really quickly on boys. And the boy, let's be fair, he's never had a sustained run in a team. He came on the last 10, 15 minutes, start the occasional game, didn't get a sustained run. So I think it's very hard to judge a boy.
Aye. For me, there's qualities in him I can see, but whether or not that's up to Celtic quality, again, that's the manager, I suppose, and the club to decide that. But again, Robert, was he a signing for the managers? Was it the board that signed them? Because the manager that signed them didn't play them. So, again, most managers who sign their players, most of the time they play, like Rodgers, I'm guessing Rodgers signed St. Clair. He played most of the time with Rodgers. He signed, I think the Berry was in the pipeline, but he played them. So, he's maybe Kamara's another one of many players that we maybe bought, Robert, but again, we don't know what is happening behind the scenes.
With Kamara, for me personally, I think he suits quite a deep counter-attacking team because he's pacey. Whereas I've seen him, just my personal opinion, I think that's the type of guy he is. He likes to play on the last shoulder and use his pace to get in behind. And he's not going to be the type of player you're going to bring in against Ross County at Celtic Park, and he's going to find that space because they've normally got fucking 8 or 9 players camped in their end half out with the last 18 yards. So he's not going to get that to run
Robert, would he be your European guy that you're speaking about then? He would be ideal for the one man up front in Europe to run the channels and like.
It probably would be, Joe. That's what I mean. He might be that guy. He might go to America and get that chance or wherever he may go. And maybe that's what Celtic seen on him when they were scouting him in Poland. Oh, this guy's got pace. Look at him go. And he scored a few goals. He possibly could be that guy. But as John says, he's never really had a chance at that. It's hard to obviously drop Edward and say, right, Kamala, you're up front for the next 10 games when you've met to have a £35 million striker sitting there. So it's very difficult, and he might go and flourish somewhere else. I'm just reckon he is that type of player, a kind of team that soak up a lot of pressure deep and then hitting the counter with his pace. I think that's where he would suit him with. He's going against Johnston away. That was what I think the type of guy he is. When we broke away and he went through and the cunt fucking nearly put him in the stone and got up and scored the goal. That's just my personal opinion.
See your analyst of him there. I totally agree with that, right? But who then at Celtic sits down and thinks, we don't, if you go out the course of a season, that type of team, we don't play, even Rangers would sit, nobody plays a high line. So why did we buy him? It's bizarre. It's just bizarre because you've just analysed that there, and you're spot on about how he plays on the shoulder, but he would never play against a team like that in Scotland.
No, that's what I think, Joe, and that's why I think we don't suit him as a club. You know what I mean?
But no, definitely.
I just, at that side of the scouting, I don't get it. I don't get that, Joe, because surely what we've just spoke about, that's what the Celtic scouting say and go, where are they think he's that type of player? That's, you would look at it and go, well, can 9 times out of 10 in Scotland, you're not going to be playing against teams that are like that?
Nah, 100%.
But that's just my opinion.
That's something, John, that we've spoken about. Together, like Celtic tend to buy, well, especially on the Lennon, they're both players just because they're good players and they're booming. But these days, you can't do that. You've got to pick players that suit a system, that suit the club, and suit. You can't just go like Elanusi, right? When you go left mid, play here, play here. But if he's not suiting that system, he's kind of like, as Joe says, a Yeti, right? I like a Yeti as well. I see. He's just a penalty box player, in my opinion. I don't think he's going to run the channels. I just think he's going to play with somebody. And I think he's a goal scorer, John. But I think, again, he's playing him up front against Lee himself. But that's no his job. But he did do well, to be fair. But they're buying players, for me, John, not to suit the system. But he should be buying players to suit the system. You want to play if it as a 4-2-3-1, whatever it is. As Robert says, John, we don't know what fucking system we're going to play every game. So how you make sign players for a system you've no got a structure to put the players in?
Regarding a Jetty, when you had that spell, I think you scored 5 weeks in a row or whatever, maybe. You're like, bingo, got a player here. Well, or as soon as you scored his first goal, you knew right away he was a penalty box player, didn't you? And that's not the way Celtic played. That's not the way Celtic played. And now that, After his wee run, the alarm bell started ringing, didn't he? He was starting games, getting pulled off, only coming on the last wee bits of the games. And it's kind of frazzled out from the season, hasn't it?
Aye, definitely. But you've paid 5 for him, 3.5 for a Jetty, and whatever you've paid for Bayou, why not just go and get your number one choice striker rather than 3 guys to pay the only one? Why not just get the one guy that you want and spend a wee bit extra?
Tony.
Proven goal scorer.
Exactly.
Again, we don't know. It
takes away.
We don't know what happens to that. I know we spoke to Ken Abogi, but he basically says, aye, he was in the building.
Robert knows.
Aye, he was in the building and stuff. I know a few of the Oilers have said it, but again, if that is the case, how can you not get that deal done? If you've got a guy in the building, how can you not get
his wife's Scottish?
It's, again, us as fans, we don't, obviously there's some fans that know me and others, right? But for me as a fan, I don't know anything that happens behind the scenes. So for me, as an outset, if you like a player, why can you not scout him, talk to him and get a deal done? Why, again, is it money? Is it more well been tight? I don't know, but as Joe says, I think it was rumoured to be £10 million. Me personally, Joe, I was like £10 million League One striker. I don't know, does it make business sense? But I heard he went for like £6 million plus add-ons. I went, well, it's only about the same price you pay for a Yeti, so then that would make business sense. So I don't know, guys, what goes behind the scenes, but something, hopefully, during the next management, the structure of that changes, because I don't think whoever comes in, I like to think they want to say so, Evan.
Well, Ryan, see what you just said there. You didn't think he was a £10 million player, right? That's fair enough, right? But see, Edward, right, we had him on loan and we paid £9 million for him eventually. But see, if we'd have just bought him before you'd seen him on loan, you would have went like that. Right. Why are we spending £9 million on a guy who plays, he can't get a game for PSG? Do you know what I mean? £9 million's a lot of money. Mm. But because you've seen him and you know he's worth a lot more than that now, nobody questions it. Whereas the guy, as I say, you're £5 million for a Jetty. See if you were to sell him tomorrow, you'd be lucky to get £1 million for him. Yeah. £2 million for him. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but Celtic have always like bought bulk rather than quality. We've always bought bulk players that are probably not good enough. And you end up splashing money on just duds. Absolutely. I mean, they must sit down with a list. And in your opinion, do you think Barkas was top of that goalkeeping list?
I think Barkas was a rush. I personally think the bank down Foster coming, and it didn't happen. They're like, shit, we've just released Gordon. Oh, we'll just sign a guy £5 million. But I generally think there's something, I don't know if you would agree with me, but see, Barkas stats, they're decent stats. It's not like he was, I know Athens were all right, but he was playing the Champions League, and I know YouTube will show you the best bits, right? But in his games, he was vocal, he's fucking this and that, and then he comes to Scotland, he's like a mouse. But again, I do agree with you, I don't think he was top of the list. Not at all.
And the honest thing, Kamara was near. I mean, they must have a list like five players. It must be like five players, right? They can't get him. We'll go to the next player. Can't get him. Go to the next player. But how far down the list do you actually go? And like the standards obviously get worse as the list goes down. What number do you then say, right? That's not good enough for us. Do you know what I mean?
That's what William, the former agent, was saying, Joe. Celtic might actually have to start going down to League One and League Two to sign players shortly, the way it's looking.
I don't doubt it, to be fair.
The Brexit, that's, you're going to find it harder to get visas and stuff, aren't you?
Aye.
So it's probably going to be Britain where you're going to have to shop. It's going to be a tight market.
I think it's going to be like that. I do agree with what William says, what you say, Sean. I think we'll need to, but that's for a game where you start getting your structure.
That's
sorting.
Another reason why the pathway is going to come into play,
isn't it? Aye. Again, I've really get, I know that young guy Montgomery signed a new deal. I don't know much of him, I just know he was on the bench a few times. But to be fair, at least Kennedy's putting two or three young guys on the bench. Again, I don't know if that's not under 20 Van Riel, or he is just doing it. Obviously, Jordan, you've got Lee Griffiths. Again, there's rumours about Aberdeen's team glass. He's not really commenting on it. We don't know what's happened to Griffiths. Hugh Keevey's been saying the radio. He says he was talking about kind of Scott Brown and kind of when Rodgers came in. He was just about basically, we really did very well. Rodgers came in and got him going again. Hugh Keevey says, who's to say that Lee Griffiths can't be the same under new manager? But I don't know. I'm sitting in the fence with Griffiths. I think he does all the fans. But again, I know mental health, we've all spoken about it, but again, as you spoke, Robert, there's only so much we can really, in a way, feel sorry, because the end of the day, as a professional, and you've still got a job to do.
It's, as I said, Ryan, before, it's not really, he's a ball head away from his end of his career, isn't he? Let's be honest, excuse my French, but hanging by a thread and it doesn't even look like he's in the fold now under Kennedy either. It's just whatever issues he's having at the park, it's really affected him. And I just think at 18 and a half grand a week wages, it's something that we could be freeing up to get a quality striker in or a quality midfielder, whoever it may be, because it's a lot of money to be getting out every week for no getting a return on it. And we'll just need to wait and see what happens on that one. But I'm the same as you. I'm on the fence. I don't know what way to think it, because you're scared to say it in case people are going, oh, he's got mental health issues and stuff. But at the end of the day, we've got to look after Celtic Football Club first and foremost.
But see, when you go, Joe. I totally agree with that, right? But a sentimental thing has got to be took out of that at some point. Because he said problems, but do you know that the stat is the last time he scored 20 goals a season was 2016?
That's what I was going to say, Joe. In the last 3 years, many goals think he scored?
Well, the last season he done 20 was 2015-16.
And you're paying a lot of money for that.
And again, Ryan spoke about Aberdeen. Now, see if you're Scott Brown. Would you put your name on him to come and do your turn, knowing obviously what's going? He must see him in the training ground, and for somebody that's been off so long, he should be the fittest guy in that club, because you would think he would be like prime condition because he's not played. and he doesn't look like that. And if I'm going to Aberdeen as assistant manager and Stephen Glass is saying to me, what do you think? Aye, he's a goal scorer, but his attitude, there's something not right. I wouldn't put my name on him. So, and as you say, he's the only guy I know in Celtic's history that scored more than 100 goals, and he's so, the fans are so different opinion on him. It's mad. You would think he would be lauded as scoring over 100 goals, but he could have done so much more, and that'll always hang over the top of him.
I honestly think he could have easily hit the 200 mark if he seen his right frame of mind.
Easy.
Oh, there's no doubting his quality, and I think we've spoken about it on this before, John, that on his day, I've said on his day, I think he's the best finisher in Scotland. On his day, I think his left foot's an absolute one. But recently, John, his days have been numbered.
I keep saying to Ryan about players in the English Premier League, strikers, that's on. If you're talking money, say 30 grand a week. Shane Long scores about 5 goals a season. Benteke scores about 5 goals a season. And they're commanding 30, 40 grand a week wages. They're not getting value for money for that down there. Because of the financial differences down there, they can afford that output. We can't give a guy 18 grand a week to score 5 goals a season.
I think you're probably double that down there, John, for the Dumplings and McBurney and that. And
but they're absolute rockets, mate. Huh? On Shane Long, Benteke, Joe Linton, there's a whole list of them. They fail every season. Five or six goals.
Jordan Rhodes, the classic. Yeah, no, we'd always linked with Jordan Rhodes. And who is he at now? I couldn't even tell you who he plays
Sheffield
for.
Sheffield Wednesday, I think.
Is it Sheffield Wednesday?
I think so. Actually, boy on my job the other day, he's a Sheffield Wednesday fan. And he says to me, Ollie, the young boy that we've signed for Sheffield Wednesday, the pre-contact.
Sure.
He said he's brilliant. He says what a player he is. I only spoke to him briefly, and he says he's just took a wee bit of form for he signed with Celtic. He says, but he had to come in and say to Sheffield Wednesday fans. He says, obviously, what he says, but he's a cracking player. And that just to give you a wee heads up, that was a boy that supports Sheffield Wednesday.
An old bit of begun to
him with.
I know.
Where does he play, Robert?
He's either a centre-half or centre-mid. He can play both positions.
Nah, you've only got to play one, mate. See that nonsense? That's what Lennon's playing at all, isn't it?
This is probably
Lennon's playing
that every week.
Aye.
But see what you're talking about, like one position? You then realise how good... You realise how good Chris Sutton was.
Centre-half, centre-forward.
Aye. That's the sort of guys, as you mentioned, Sutton. That's the guys we're missing.
No big guys, big lumps.
I know, but what would Sutton be worth now? I mean, I remember, I'm sure he played the Ibrox as centre-half, and I'm sure he'd get man of the match. And then in Europe, Martin O'Neill played them centre-mid. And he'd no pace or nothing, and he always done well. And then he played, he was so underrated for Celtic. I loved him. He was just such a great player. And for somebody to get, Celtic must have been rubbing their horns to say £6 million and we've got a guy that can play three different positions. That must have been like Christmas come early for Celtic Boardman.
Especially when he won the league with Blackburn and all that, and went to Chelsea for £10 million. He was unlucky at Chelsea. I don't think he really got a chance at Chelsea.
Mate, I think it was just what we spoke about earlier. The way they played didn't suit him. I don't think it ever suited him.
Was he Italian or Spanish?
Nah,
well. Or Russian?
It's hard, as you say, Jody, hard to come by the players now. And again, obviously, the Amanda situation, it's cooled a bit. But don't know too much. A few pundits have said and media outlets have said Celtic how are relaxed about it and blah, blah, blah. But obviously, John, we've spoken about it a lot. Who would like to come in? Mine was always Eddie Howe, but I don't know. Again, the fans don't know much what's happened, but it's obviously Eddie Howe still the main man for you, John.
I would take him. I don't know if he'd be my main man, but I'd certainly take him. Due to what he'd done at Bournemouth, how he progressed him through the leagues into a sustainable Premier League club. But silence doesn't bother me because the club's not going to come out and tell you anything, are they? Let's be fair. No one is another guy in the job at the moment, Kennedy.
Thank you. And the further, as we spoke before, we come on, but I generally think the further the season goes on and Kenny does well, it could speak into the reckoning, Robert. I know the fans don't want to hear that, but it was the same with Lennon. We didn't think Lennon was going to get a job, and he got the job in the shower. So who says to that what happened to Kennedy?
I'll tell you one thing, Ryan. They're worried about season book sales. Aye, Kennedy's doing a no bad job in doing that, but they can't turn in and appoint a guy like John Kennedy. They can't. They owe the fans an appointment of some sort. And I just feel there's too much at stake now. £16 million in transfer in season book sales. And to maybe only sell half of them if you appoint John Kennedy and it goes tits up, it would just be a total disaster and you'd just be putting yourself back so many years. I do think they'll try and find a place for John Kennedy, and whether it be in the coaching staff and the new manager or somewhere else in the club, I do think they'll try and keep him because he seems to be highly thought of at Celtic. But I don't know the manager situation now, man. Honestly, it's just went so quiet. But Dominic Mackay comes in, I think, on Monday, if that's right. And I think within the next 2 weeks, it's a guaranteed what will be happening at Celtic with director, football manager, scouting system, everything. And I think that's when it'll... They might even be waiting till after the Scottish Cup game because to see what happens in the Scottish Cup, you know what I mean? They might be waiting to that. But Dominic Mackay, I think, comes in on Monday. He left his job early. And I think you'll start to see in the next 2 weeks progression on that front.
Well, see the thing, my personal opinion, somebody's in because you can't be giving Welsh a 4-year contract because the new guy might not want him. Do you know what I mean? So they must be bouncing off somebody. There's something happening. Do you know what I mean?
That's true, Joe. I don't think that if somebody's getting out contracts and Scott Brown's leaving, blah blah, somebody must be in the pipeline.
Is that to you before, Ryan, didn't I, about Scott Brown was?
I think something must be in the pipeline. But obviously, again, the kind of big game this weekend, Joe. The last two games, I think, have been the best team. Not really clinical enough. I think I agree with the moment we were talking about. I generally think that I've always said if Celtic turned up to the Ray game, I've always said Celtic win because I do agree with John Kennedy. On a day, I still believe we're the best team in Scotland. I know the league table doesn't tell you that, but on a day, I still think individually we're a better team. As we spoke about, Rangers of this year have been better drilled, and I think that's maybe the only difference. I just think that if we turned up and play a bit more clinical better, Joe, I think we'll win the game.
We've just not looked organised and we've kind of looked scared. And like, I've never known Celtic not to play their own way. And the first couple of games, we kind of sat waiting on them to do something. Whereas when Rodgers first came in, you always knew you were going to win. But this season, under Lennon, obviously, that you've just expected to get beat. Like, you're expecting it to happen, but as I say, the last couple of games, it's been no too bad, and there seems to be something's changed somewhere along the line. Is it going to be enough on Sunday? Hopefully. But I think they need to start believing in themselves again. I think that's a big problem, that they don't believe that they can do it. But I enjoyed the Livingston game the other day. It was like a wee breath of fresh air. Like, the football on that was good, the goals were good, and it was a bit more direct and a bit more positive. And I think you've got to go into the game believing that you can win it.
I think it's good as well, as you mentioned, the Livingston game, that we've come off a good result, put a few goals, good performances. And obviously, John, we spoke about obviously the boy Patterson, which we can talk about again, being on the ocean, we're playing. But Gerrard says it was ridiculous about him because he's a talent that he shouldn't be banned. And again, I thought when he came on against us in the last game, he looked nervy, he looked rash. The boy Barry's not playing this game, but he was, we targeted him, and I think that's maybe a place we should target again, John, to right back, because again, I think it might be his first game starting if he starts, so he might be kind of maybe overwhelmed, he could be nervy, he could be anxious, so I think that's somewhere where we could target a Forest or if it is illness out wide.
Celtic tactically were very good the last game, how they just pinpointed Balogun as a weak point, didn't they? And then he went off and that boy came on. I would go to him or not. I'm telling you, he's a minimum yellow card on Sunday. He's very rash, very raw, very aggressive. I'm actually very confident that we'll get a result and go through. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because the last two Old Firm games. Glasgow derbies. The last two of them, Celtic's been the better side, and the other team's goalkeeper's been the difference, isn't it? But we were very clinical last week, and hopefully it continues on Sunday.
And obviously ourselves, Robert, we've spoken about it a few times now in the COVID situation, the boys shouldn't be playing, but again, he'll be back to come out and kind of prove a point, and I think it's down to us to obviously say, listen, pal, this is why you were on the bench all the time, let's just target him, because I agree with John. I think that's somewhere we could target.
I says if he was playing the last game, that's where I would target. I did say that to you. I says I don't think he's as good as that mob make out. He can look good against maybe Ross County at home and that, where he's probably getting the joy again just attacking and no defending. But I don't think he's great defensively. I think he is rash, as your dad says. I think he dives in. Maybe a young boy eager and that, but I think Elanussi or Forrest, whoever may be on that line, if Forrest is fit, that is, target him. And just, if you target him all game, and if you maybe try and get by him five times and only get by him once, it might be the one time you get by him makes a difference, that you then get the goal for it. But I think the problem for us on Sunday is the last twice we've played them, I don't think we've been under any great pressure on for them. Bar cross balls into the box. We need to learn to defend cross balls into the box better. And if we can do that, I think we can quite comfortably beat them if we McGregor doesn't have another worldie against us.
Aye, I think it's a big difference, Joe, when you've got a goal like that and goals in it. As much as he plays your Rangers, we will admit he is a very, very good goalkeeper.
Aye, he's top draw. But that's why he's there. And when we had Foster, that's why he was there. But, like, I know he's our same target one guy. Like, this is the games, like, Elnus, he's split the support. You either like him or you don't rate him at all. For me, this is the games that he's got to step up. This is why he should be in this team. But he's got to take the game with a scruff in the neck. I don't think enough Celtic players, it's past the buck, but it's, we need somebody that will grab the game and say, right, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And too many people have waited and somebody else doing it. And, like, I hope Forrest starts, but I then hope that the other players don't think, oh, right, he's got to do this. Do you know what I mean? We've got to just believe in ourselves.
So I think it's actually me speaking with Forrest. I think, Robert, we've spoken a long on this podcast. A guy who I think we've got something to create something now is Tumble. I think he's always going to create something. His passes, his distribution for me is amazing. He picks out these wee passes, the wee flicks. You're always, and I think that's maybe why Edouard maybe plays well, because he's always looking for him. He's always playing the balls through him. And I think that's an angle we can go through the game, through Tumble.
Tumble, Forrest and Edouard and Elanussi, if that's your front four, I think it causes a lot of threat to them. I liked how Edouard and Forrest linked up against St Mirren, the give and goes, because Edouard's dropping deep and Forrest is running in behind, which I think we've lacked this season as well. Somebody running in behind Edouard. And I think that's where you could stretch a game with that front four, if that's the tactics it goes with. And I'm honestly confident we'll beat them. As I said, we just need to be more clinical in front of goal and take our chances and always be switched on at the back, because defensively we're not the greatest at corners and free kicks and that, and boys come into the box, but I think that were their tactics to just try and get boys into their box as early, as quickly as they can. I don't think the last twice we played them, really, I can't remember them creating numerous amount of chances. I think we've been quite comfortable defensively in open play. It's just corner kicks and close balls. We just need to be a bit more switched on.
I think that's something, John, all season, and it's a set pieces. I think if we cut them out, we've got a far better chance of doing something up the forward then, because defensively, set pieces, we've been very poor.
It's been Celtic's weakness all season for day one, isn't it? But regarding Turnbull, if he's playing, I hope he's not very rigid and playing disciplined in the position. I want him to go and express himself and grab the game by the scruff of the neck and just fucking go at them. Definitely. He's a fantastic player. He's a very good player. But I want to see him to go on the better things. I think he can get a lot better. He might be another one. If he keeps progressing, he might be another one, be able to sell one for dough.
Turnbull, Joe, we've spoken about him a lot. I don't know your thoughts on him, but I'm guessing it's probably the same as us, that he's a very, very top talent.
He's got all the attributes. We're seeing the best of him. Well, we're seeing what he can produce. But again, seeing the settled team, Robert touched on it earlier. See if he knows the runs Edwards doing, and he's played 3, 4, 5 games with players, and he knows where their movement is. That's half the battle. When you're chopping and changing every week, and a guy goes long all the time and short, you get to know the way guys play. And Elna Hussey's starting to come into a game, and his other link up plays are starting to happen the way it should be happening. But to me, that's because the team settled a wee bit, rather than, like, obviously they're chopping and you know yourself, it's hard, it's really hard. And if it's the same guy in front of you all the time, you build up an understanding. Robert says earlier about Forrest and Edward, but they two have played together for a number of years now, and it worked the other day. But they've done that probably for the last 3, 4, 5, however long he's been there, Edward, 4 years, whatever. They get an understanding and it just clicks into play again. It's hard. It is hard.
I think it's obviously playing football ourselves, guys, you understand that when you do play with guys, Robert, you do get to know players, and especially if he's a striker, midfielders, you know that they know you're going to make that run or whatever else. So it's definitely something recently I've seen, as well as you mentioned, that the more these guys are playing together, things are starting to click, and hopefully it's clicking at the right time. Obviously, it should have clicked months ago, but come to the end of the season, we've still got a big kind of 4 or 5 games to go.
As we say, there could be a manager sitting in the stands or sitting at home watching, and these players are playing for their futures. Let's be honest, we've fucked up the season so far, so let's not try and fuck up the Scottish Cup. And we've won it the last 4 years, so I'd like to see it 5th year in a row, because it's the oldest cup in Scottish football, and Scottish football. So we like to obviously win trophies, and I think it's set a marker out if you go there and win on Sunday 4 next season, to say to them, by the way, we're there and we're there to take that title straight back off us. I think we're only lacking 2 or 3 players, mate, to make us a good team again, to be honest with you.
I think it's generally the same as the way Rodgers was. If you get a good manager, I think it's a better team. I know Lennon Dunne had his good points for us, but a better manager wins the league this year, in my opinion. That's just, well, I think it's most of the fans' opinions. Obviously, for the game of Sunday, John, key men, I always say, I know Scott Brown's coming to the end of Celtic, but I always say if Scott Brown plays well, Celtic play well, I think Scott Brown's still got something to give us at the end of the season. And I think he'll want to give us a good performance, because it could be his last game in the Scottish Cup, so he's maybe want to get there in a high.
This could be Scott Brown's Last big game for Celtic on Sunday. Hopefully it's no. As I say, it would be fitting for him to leave Celtic with a trophy at the end of the season for what he's done for the club. The club's done well with him. I know he's been handsomely played, don't forget, for the last 14 years. But for the 4 million, whatever Celtic paid, there's definitely value for money through him anyway. But Seamus Turnbull, hope Scott Brown grabs a game with the scruff of the neck on Sunday. As we've always kind of said, if Scott Brown plays well, Celtic win. This season, that's not been so true, but I thought he played well the last game, to be fair with you. He was quietly confident in everything he'd done. Simple. Still a big player for Celtic, as I say. Hopefully, it's not his last big game.
Aye, I'm the same as you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. You can't deny the need to fly.